Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the NCL, Ed Maher with the NCL.
Hello.
Hello. And Phil Davidson with MACRC, the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning.
Good morning, gents.
How's it going?
Very well. How are you boys?
Hi, Phil.
I'm good, great. Good. Yeah, really, really good.
Still finally just getting back and, you know, getting my strength back from the marathon.
You didn't run the marathon.
I know, but I watched almost the whole thing.
That took a toll.
Yeah.
Phil once ran a marathon.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, you know how we know that?
Because he
told us, like a vegan.
Yeah, well, I mean.
So look, last week was our 2-year anniversary show.
That's right.
And it was a blast, right?
Yeah,
a
sure
really,
was.
Really good time. And we got some great comments and, you know, kudos and blah, 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 blah. And then we got a couple of what I consider funny comments. One was we had Timmy, the 9-year-old kid that works in the slaughterhouse.
That's right.
Yes.
He was on.
He speaks very well for a child who doesn't get allowed to go to school.
Part of the Worker's Mic players.
Yes, exactly right. And so somebody wrote a comment and said, like, that was really funny, but aren't you exploiting a 9-year-old? Did you pay him?
No, his father was.
And I'm like, you know, it's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. And then we got a comment from somebody that was angry about a vegan joke that we made.
It wasn't even really a joke.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
So it was what happened was Phil said that he ran a marathon.
Right.
And Ken said, oh, it's, you know, it's like a vegan thing. You got to tell everybody. And Ken said, usually vegans are quick to announce themselves as vegans.
Yeah.
And the first thing that happened was we got a message from the vegan saying that they were a vegan. So it's not even a joke. I'm just saying it's not even a joke.
Wait a second. They sent you a message to say that they're vegans.
Yeah. But the true test, I think, is that she said she wasn't going to listen to the show anymore. And I want to see if she sends us another message after the show.
And I sincerely apologize to all vegans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
As I said, some of my best friends are vegans.
Phil, you don't have friends. That would presuppose you have friends.
Yes, yeah, some imaginary friends who are, in fact, vegans.
They're very health conscious.
An imaginary vegan friend.
Yeah.
All right, so we also have today. So today's going to be a great show, a unique show in some regards for us. We have two folks coming in to discuss an organization called Pride at Work.
That's
And Ed, they are?
From Pride at Work, we have Megan Elk, the comms director, communications director from the Chicago Federation of Musicians, and Karen Suarez Flint, who is not only the secretary treasurer of the Chicago Federation of Musicians, but also a vice president on the Illinois AFL-CIO's executive board.
Yeah, and why the CFM? Because that's they're hosting sort of the relaunch of this organization called Pride at Work, and they'll be here to discuss more about that. And then we're gonna talk about the upcoming election and, you know, some of the pros and cons, I think, of both candidates.
Trump, home stretch.
And Trump's kind of stomped in it again.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know. I mean, it's my mom says this. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
And he really is. He's kind of just saying, look, this is who I am. When it comes to, and we're focused here on workers' rights.
Workers, right? Correct.
I'm not passing judgment on anything else but workers' rights. And, you know,
Freudian slips that have been.
I'm not even sure they're Freudian. Yeah. I think he means it. You know,
he knows he can just. Yeah, do
I think
it
he does too.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about Trump's latest gaffe and kind of what's going on, just the larger sense, because we're getting into early voting. Early voting is now open in Illinois, and so we have to, you know, we've got to take a look at this as workers.
I think so, and, you know, look, everybody knows that. I don't think this is a secret. We always have discussed this in the building trades, right? Building trades tend to lean conservative.
That's right.
It is what it is, right? We have 10,000 police officers in the NCL, and we're just bringing on a couple thousand more. They also lean conservative. Firefighters lean conservative, et cetera. And so that's obviously their right, and gun issues and, you know, social issues and things like that. But really, when push comes to shove, you know, like, what does Sweeney say? Vote? Like, what does he say?
Vote your check and lobby your hobby.
Yeah. So, right. Vote your wallet, right?
Yeah.
And so, because without the wallet, without the check, without your pension, your benefits, et cetera, everything else falls to the side.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, you're not out hunting, fishing, doing all the things that you like to do if you're not working and making a good living.
Right.
And so people, I think they seem to lose sight of that. And you know, you hear the old, like, oh, all politicians are the same. That's just not true.
No,
you know,
we'll demonstrate that.
Yeah.
Later on in the show.
Yeah, it's just simply it's not true.
Sometimes it's a least bad option, but it's still a least bad option.
I think that's right. And yeah, is it frustrating that we have a two-party system? Absolutely. Yes. Is it frustrating that we don't really have an actual true democracy where it's just one person, one vote? No, we don't have that. We have the Electoral College. All that stuff is wrong. And it is, you know, should it be fixed? Absolutely. You know, should we have Supreme Court nominees justices for life? No, obviously, because look what's happened. You know, they get to rule the. So there's lots of things wrong with the democracy, but democracy is messy.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, it is what it is. So listen, we got to take a quick break. We will be back with Megan and Karen from the Chicago Federation of Musicians right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher, here with Ken Edwards and Phil Davidson, and we are joined by some very special guests today. We have Megan Elk, the comms director, communications director from Chicago Federation of Musicians, and they are joined by Karen Suarez-Flint, the Secretary-Treasurer of the Chicago Federation of Musicians and a Vice President of the Illinois AFL-CIO.
Welcome.
So welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you're here to talk about something that's really important.
But before we do that, let's just give a shout-out to the CFM, right, Chicago Federation
that's
of Musicians,
sure.
Who are part of the National Coalition of Labor. Our first, like, literally, they were the first union that was kind of outside of our world mm-hmm. to come in and say, hey, we want to join. And we're like, sure, what do you guys do? Like, we're musicians. I'm like, what kind of musicians? I play guitar. And they're like, no, real musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
guitarist.
You don't play them like I do.
Yeah, guys actually know how to play it, though.
Yeah. Plays them with his teeth.
But I went to meet them, and I'm like, okay, well, I didn't know nothing about it, to be blunt with you. And like the symphony musicians and like real live musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's really, really cool. And so, you know, who knew? And so you guys have been with us now for a couple of years. And
we had BJM before. Yeah, he was
great. I talked to your members on the phone quite often, and they're really appreciative. They're really nice, you know. So it's a pleasure to have you guys in here, and we really appreciate your participation in. And you just gave a presentation to the, I guess, the Midwest.
Yeah, it would have been like the Mid-America region, Midwest region. We had the opportunity to meet with a whole bunch of leaders from across the American Federation of Musicians. So
the American Federation of Musicians just settled like a massive contract, right?
Yes, there was that, and thank goodness for the writers and the uh-huh. actors to go on strike.
Yeah.
Because it made we're on the back end,
yeah.
So it made our process much easier. And right now, I think we're into TV video taping, which is funny we say videotape, but there is a TV videotape negotiation going
for
on
sure.
right
there's
now.
Literally no more video.
I know, but
Blockbuster.
There's still one somewhere, Alaska, I think.
But things are looking up.
So how many members are in the CFM?
The CFM has around 2,000 members. We represent the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, the Lyric Opera, Grant Park, but we also represent all the jazz musicians. We are not genre specific.
Yep.
We're also, our organizing campaigns currently are with hip hop artists.
Yeah.
Because they are probably the most ill-treated musicians.
Yeah, exploited.
Yes.
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah, they pay to play.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yes, completely so.
Yep.
And also with the DJs, we're working with them now, too.
Are you making some traction?
Big traction.
That's awesome.
And we all have the same thing in common, right? They're getting treated terribly at their workplaces.
Right.
And so, you know, they want to...
That doesn't discriminate.
No, not at all. And they want to be able to have families
and
have a retirement and all the things that everyone wants. It doesn't matter if we are a musician or not. But our Chicago Federation, we actually have an interesting history. I'll give you 10 seconds of. We're the 10-208.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
The local 10 was the white union.
Oh, I knew
that. And
this,
so that was around 1901.
Mm-hmm.
And the black musicians wanted to join and, of course, weren't allowed. And so they were Local 208.
Mm-hmm.
Local 208 was the largest union. That had members such as Nat King Cole and Louis Armstrong.
Wow.
You know, basically, it's a who's who of American music.
Super cool.
And then in the 60s, they were forced to join together, which thank goodness. And yeah, now I feel like in 2024 we're actually doing justice to the name.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
Everything.
That's a cool background, huh?
Yeah. And when BJ came in a few months ago, he told me something that I never knew, certainly. But when you think about music in Chicago, you hear that you think of blues, you think of jazz. And the reality of that is because we had such strong radio transmitters here in Chicago, musicians from the South and from Tennessee and from all over, you know, the Midwest came here to play music on the radio so that they would be heard.
Is that right?
So it's one of the reasons that Chicago has such a sort of a rich, diverse,
well, the Delta
defining
blues guys,
musical
right?
history.
Yeah. So now you guys are here for a specific reason, so let's talk about that. There is an organization called Pride at Work. Explain a little bit about that.
That's right. Pride at Work is a national labor service organization dedicated to fighting for equality amongst LGBTQ people in the workforce, specifically union members. And we are very excited at Chicago Federation of Musicians to host the relaunch of the Chicago chapter. It's been inactive for a few years, largely because of the pandemic.
Right.
And we're excited to relaunch it this coming Thursday night. We're hosting a happy hour mixer with food and beverage and, of course, musical entertainment, since we'll be at the Musicians Union.
Yeah.
That will be from 5 to 7 this coming Thursday.
And who, it's part of the AFL-CIO?
Yeah, Pride at Work is an AFL-CIO constituency.
National.
Nationally. Mm-hmm. They formed in 1994 at the 25th anniversary of Stonewall.
Got it.
And rallied pretty hard to gain constituency status with the AFL-CIO and now are a major constituency.
How many members?
There are regional locations all across the country, so I'm not sure how many members there are nationwide.
Is it something that is hard to get people to join?
What's interesting is, from an arts perspective, I go to work as a musician, my wife goes to work as a musician, and we think these are open, affirming, safe spaces for queer folks, especially in performing arts organizations in the city of Chicago. And we tend to take that for granted. So I think for artists, probably the buy-in is not difficult. There are plenty of openly queer artists. However, I have to imagine that for members of other unions, it's a much harder bargain to be out and proud at work. And, we are endeavoring to be a location where union members from all across the city that identify as LGBTQ can come together and talk about issues that impact all of us in the workforce.
I think it's so important that we're so happy to have you in here talking about this for the very reason that you're bringing up. I saw some numbers just a few minutes ago that in 2022, around 7, just a little higher than 7% of Americans identified as LGBTQIA+. And so there's folks in the Musicians Union, there's folks in every building trades union, every place that we go, there are folks in this community. And having events and coming on and talking about this stuff just, takes away some of that fear, takes away some of that stigma, and makes it a little bit easier to, be yourself in the world, which is something I think the labor movement has always, stood on across different classes, across generations. So, I commend you for what you're doing.
So are you reaching out into the building trades and into some of the blue collar unions to try and get some participation?
Absolutely. With the support of the AFL-CIO, we have contacts at all the major trade unions. And so we're actually bringing together members of the Nurses Union, members of the CTU, Chicago Teachers Union.
Yep.
So it should be a really diverse coalition of out-proud workers.
When is it and where is it?
So it will be Thursday, October 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. At the Chicago Federation of Musicians offices in Haymarket Square, 656 Randolph.
West Randolph.
656 West Randolph, Suite 2E.
Okay.
Have several members from the Carpers Union there that's been shared, and I'm talking to some of our sisters last night who are very excited to go. So
that's awesome.
Think it'll be a good turnout.
You know, it's funny. So we've talked about this in the past, and since day one, we stress that a union contract doesn't see color, race, gender, etc., right? You're a union member, this is what you get paid. It doesn't say you're a black union member, this is what you get paid. You're a white union member, this is what you get
Christian,
paid.
Christian, Muslim,
it doesn't
gay,
matter,
straight.
Right? Yeah. So, that's one of the benefits, I think, of being in a union.
Yeah.
If you're in any kind of protected class, and by the way, the protected class, if Project 2025 happens,
right, it's being threatened.
That's going away.
Yeah.
Literally, that's going away. You'll be able to discriminate now based on sexuality, right? We lost, you know, the right to choose, blah, 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 blah. Like, you could see the way the country's going. We're at this massive crossroads right here that, you know, we're going to see in a few weeks how this goes. But, I mean, that is part and parcel for one of their proposals for Project 2025 is to make sure that there's no more protection.
Yeah, which is insane.
It's really insane. So let's say it happens. I'm sorry to cut you off, but let's say it does happen, right? What's going to protect that is going to be a union contract. Right. And which, oh, by the way, they're trying to get rid of us too. So, like, well, you know. We'll be
back to Stonewall.
Literally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I want to share something. I lived 19 years in Wisconsin. And I worked down here, so I was always a member of the CFM. And my husband is a professor at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. And so I lived through suddenly a very purple state where everyone got along. And I'm not kidding. Suddenly, teachers were the villains.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Sure.
And we endured that for 19 years till I could endure it no more.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And came back, moved back, and the people don't understand how quickly it can happen. They use fear. And there is fear, even in our unions, of people coming out and being who they are. And we can't have that. We have to be better than that. But they use fear in a way where they get seemingly nice, real, rational people to say, wait, the teachers get that?
Yeah.
The teachers have a pension? I don't have a pension. People aren't quick enough to flip the narrative and say, yeah, they have a pension. You don't?
We want that for everyone.
Why don't I have a pension? But they're not asking themselves.
We're started to see that now. And quite frankly, Karen, part of the reason that this coalition started was because we saw what happened in Wisconsin, you know, the birthplace of public sector unions, right? Yeah. We saw what happened in Michigan and Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia. We were an island. And that happened. Now we have the Workers' Rights Amendment here as well.
Oh, thank
but
goodness.
Yeah, but you're right. And now, all of a sudden, you're seeing the worker bees, right? The workers of the world, the workers of the United States, stand up and go, you know what? I want more. I want my fair share, like the longshoremen, like the UAW, like the machinists are doing right now. Why shouldn't I get a pension, right? That's one of the things in Boeing that, you know, we talk about. Like, they want their pension back as well as they should. Right? Health insurance, you know, access to medical, doctors, the things that we deserve.
Yeah.
It's not crazy to think that 2025 could happen easily.
Right.
I mean, the AFM, we have loads of locals in Florida, right? So we have members in Florida where their children cannot talk about their parents at school. This is not, I mean, right? You can't say gay, right? You cannot. So we have members with children who cannot talk about that. We have members whose children cannot get health care.
Right.
We're so lucky in Chicago, right? But
yeah, well, we're in a bubble.
We
right?
are.
We're
but
in a
that bubble can
bubble.
Burst
of
if
course
the,
it can.
You know, if 2025
Absolutely.
Comes.
Absolutely. And it's easy to think that nothing bad can happen here. But I think the important thing to remember is, regardless of the outcome of the November election, the Heritage Foundation, the authors of the Project 2025 plans, are not going anywhere.
No.
We need to organize and remain vigilant to fight each and every single one of these truly draconian measures.
It's 900 pages. Like, it really is unbelievable.
Inhumane, of just like the most
abysmal things that you've ever read. And, you know, we talked about it earlier. You know, this is why this election is so important. But it's imperative on us, you, the labor movement, all of us, to shine a light on this and say, this is bad. You know, let's not let them continue to divide and conquer us, because you're exactly right. That's what they're very, very good at doing. What do you mean you get a pension? Why don't I get a pension? What do you mean? How come we're paying fast food workers $20 an hour in California? How dare you? You know,
in Wisconsin, they had carve outs for first responders, right?
Police and fire.
Right. Yeah. So now they're trying to divide.
Of course. Yes.
Union workers, you know, amongst themselves as well. And so, right, it's easy to backslide.
Any last comments before we let you guys go?
I just want to say that I'm really proud of Chicago Federation of Musicians for hosting this relaunch of Pride at Work. Unions have always been on the forefront of fighting for LGBTQ rights, and there's no time more in the history of our nation when we need the strength and the organized power of unions to support our LGBTQ community.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Absolutely.
One more time with the information for the event.
The Pride at Work relaunch of the Chicago chapter will be Thursday, October 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Chicago Federation of Musicians, 656 West Randolph, Suite 2E.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for coming in today. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Absolutely. For having us. We'll be back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, that was interesting, right? Certainly a unique perspective and kind of cool to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, unions for our entire existence have tried to lift everybody up and That's say right. we have more in common as workers than we, you know, than what divides us.
And so I didn't know.
A great equalizer. You
know, or yeah. But I guess I didn't know that there were black unions and white unions, but I guess that makes sense, right?
I learned something really interesting every time we talk to somebody from the Chicago Federation of Musicians.
Yeah, you're right about that. And don't forget, too, right-to-work laws were born out of racism.
Right.
Yeah. And we can have discussions about that and should do a better job of educating people about that. But anyways, there's a lot going on in labor, and we need to address a bunch of things. One is, right out of the gate, let's just talk about Trump has now hit the trifecta of insulting workers.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, man. Like, you know, and I know, like we said, our members are going to vote who they're going to vote for. We're not telling people how to vote. But it, at the end of the day, you know, like I said, when somebody shows you who
you need
they
to
are,
know this information.
Them. Yeah, it's just it's important. And don't say like it's fake news, because it's not.
Right.
You know, we're not getting the news from some, you know, wacky spot.
It I mean, we've like played the audio in every case where we've talked about this.
Right.
So what you're talking about is a recent meeting where former President Trump was talking about automakers, That's auto right. workers in the United States, and how the people who manufacture Mercedes, for example, are not really manufacturing cars. They're assembling cars. They send all the pieces in a box from Germany.
In a box. Like an Amazon box.
Yeah.
Like Amazon delivers it to the plants.
It's like Legos. It's like IKEA. You have a series of instructions with the little man and no words. Right. But he said they're just assembling it. Kids could do it. So he's saying that kids could do the work of an American auto worker, which I think, if I'm guessing, and I am, but I think I'm guessing right, is in response to the auto workers, the United Auto Workers, filing a lawsuit against President Trump for trying to intimidate workers.
And also coming out hard against them.
Yeah, and
right?
Sean Payne criticizing him. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Well,
right.
He would never have
said this if he got their endorsement.
So this is from the first two of the three-legged stool of Trump's insults. The first one being that he told Elon Musk, "You're the only guy who's going to go out there and fire striking workers." And I love it.
I love it.
We should fire them, which is insane.
Yes.
Another, something that the United Auto Workers...
Which is illegal.
Yeah. They took offense to that because they went on strike and they won and it was good for them. And then after that, it was his statement a couple weeks ago about, "I don't pay workers overtime."
I hate overtime, and to be honest,
I shouldn't say this. I don't pay it. I would just find other people and not pay it. This coming out sort of in response to the auto workers, I guess my advice would be, if there's any groups out there that don't want to see Trump win the election, just lay some breadcrumbs out. Just pick a fight, because it seems like he really can't help himself.
He definitely can't help himself.
He really can't help himself. But this is not news.
He's got to the point now where he really is sort of becoming unhinged. He's just saying whatever he wants to say. The other day he had a 45-minute dance party. We just stood on stage and danced.
Politics aside,
that was weird.
For a guy that dances like that.
He's a bad dancer.
He's got jazz. It's like the worst version of jazz hands. It's like
Carlton
preschool sing-along
Fresh
hands.
Prince,
Carlton had way better moves than Trump.
But look, and now if you want to take the inverse, because I think we should talk about Harris and, you know, the former Biden administration. You know, now in politics, all of a sudden, you know, there's talking points, by the way, on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, jobs, inshoring, manufacturing. We're getting killed in manufacturing. This wacky tariff thing, which is, by the way, an abysmal mistake, but you guys can read more about that. But all of a sudden now, worker bees are in the vernacular of political talk. And it's popular now to say, we need more manufacturing jobs here in the United States. And so, let's call this what it is. Biden, say what you want about the guy. He's old, you know, and until that debate, be blunt with you, I didn't really think that, and I was wrong. I think his stepping down was accurate. But they gave us that infrastructure bill, and it was bipartisan. Let's not forget that, right? Yeah. It was Republicans and Dems that finally put their nonsense aside and said, this is good for America. We got the CHIPS Act, right? We got green energy. We got all this like insourcing of manufacturing work. We're creating jobs, millions and millions and millions of jobs, and building an infrastructure that's crumbling.
And also the stuff that doesn't make headlines on TV, but with appointments to the National Labor Relations Board or hiring a general counsel to the Labor Relations Board that empowers workers to get out and organize,
right,
which clearly there was an appetite for, because workers have gone out, have organized, have filed on unfair labor practice charges, have done all these things because we're living in a country that sort of empowers it right now. So there's an appetite for it. They saw that. They did the right things. You won't see it on headlines. You don't even necessarily hear a lot of people talk about it. But that is really the behind-the-scenes ways in which he's demonstrated his friendliness toward workers, to give them the rights that federal law gives them, but that have been violated sort of in 100 different ways for too long.
With no teeth.
Right.
Yeah. And underfunding it, right? And what did you say, Phil? There was 1,000 petitions?
There was 1,000 more petitions, union petitions, filed in 2024 than in 2023.
And that's like the most petitions since the 70s,
right?
And what that means for those of you listening is that a union's filing a petition to represent the workers of blank employer.
Right.
And that's how many petitions have been
filed.
More
and more people are interested in joining unions.
Right.
And more and more people are having the opportunity to, thanks to the policies of the current.
But what's going to, and here's back to politics for a quick second. What's going to happen, right? If the Dems win, basically it is, you're going to see, hopefully, that the NLRB will be funded properly.
Yep.
Right. And not be toothless. And if Project 2025 gets in, the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, and perhaps even the Act
will
become A, unconstitutional, and B, unions will be replaced with quote unquote teams.
Yes.
And that's in this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you read it. It is what it is.
Get a pizza.
You don't even get a pizza, right?
We'll
so, I mean, that's at stake right now. Like,
right.
It's an existential threat for unions' existence.
Yeah.
And so.
And bringing back just what you were saying earlier about the Biden administration, Acting Secretary Sue, Julie Sue, so she visited a Detroit Carpenters Union, and yesterday was the day where everyone received their benefits in full from the American Rescue Plan Act, and that was the pension bailout for all those union workers. And that's something that, I mean, if you're a member of a union, I mean, think about it. Like, your retirement, your safety, your security when you retire was protected by the actions of that bill being passed.
Right.
$68 billion.
That was a huge,
huge
deal.
And so when people are like, oh, you know, screw Biden, it's like, if you're a union worker, I don't know how you could turn your back against someone. I mean, obviously,
that
there could be other reasons, but man, when they're protecting your pensions.
For literally hundreds of thousands of workers, that bill made the difference between being able to retire and not being able to retire, because the pension that had been worked for so many years was threatened.
Right.
Like, it was like, oh, I'm 65. I've been working all this year paying into a pension. The fund is bust.
Right.
So I don't get to retire.
It was 1.1 million workers.
Yeah, is that what it was?
1.1 million.
And I don't want to hear the because, you know, I've heard other people say, well, it was mismanaged. Shame on you, right? Well, guess what? When the airlines were about to go under and the banks were about to go under, right? They were too big.
They got bailed out.
They got bailed out. We got sold out, right? So now, for the first time, like, yes, we've gotten some recognition and some money from the government, because, by the way, who pays all of the taxes that go towards all these programs?
Not Donald Trump.
That's for sure. It's the middle class, right? We pay the bulk of the taxes. And so,
again, stuff that you got to keep in mind when you're going to cast your ballot. It's like, man,
it is
specifically under the prism of protecting workers and workers' rights.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
That's the name of the game, right? That's the Workers' Mic Show. I mean, it's about working issues, and obviously it's pro-worker. So, you know, do what you will at the ballot. And I'll just leave you with this. Trump tried to ban scabby. Right? When he was in office, literally, they were trying to make scabby illegal.
That one hurts.
Come on, man. Just at the Operating Engineers Union here in Illinois, Local 150, there were 3 lawsuits brought by the National Labor Relations Board General Counsel against one union for using an inflatable rat.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. And I mean, the attorneys on the union side were like, this is a balloon. You're talking about the Westboro Baptist Church is going out with these signs at soldiers' funerals protesting against gay people.
Right.
And you're suing us for our use of a balloon rat?
Right. Like, what happens like at the gorilla on top of like a car dealership? Can we have that too?
You know, I think car dealers should be a little worried.
That's right.
Don't sleep too easy tonight, car dealers.
Slippery slope.
Your gorilla is in danger.
And then the Glacier decision, the Supreme Court. And
There's been a lot.
Look.
Taking away our ability to strike.
Supreme Court is not not for the worker base.
No.
The majority.
Let's call it what it is. And that's why there should be term limits.
Yeah.
So we got a Boeing. Machinists are still on strike.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this. Right. And back to the National Labor Relations Board, you have Boeing and I want to say Stellantis is having the fight with the UAW over whether they're going to reopen that plant and all this kind of stuff.
State you mean their word?
The thing that they promised they would do to end the strike? You mean they're saying they might not do it now?
That thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that thing. Right.
The guys who are accusing their workers of bargaining in bad faith, did you say earlier?
So it was so this is the point, right? So these companies are now taking the National Labor Relations Act and using the Labor Relations Board, which, by the way, is out of money. It's never been funded particularly well.
And now it's busier than ever.
And now it's busier than ever. And
they're still trying to cut more money out of it.
And the employers seeing this, by the way, you know, smart move if you're them. They're using the board to file charges against the unions now to say that the unions are not negotiating in good faith or the unions are doing X, Y, and Z. And they're suing the unions. And in so many words, right? They're suing the unions to try and get a litigation advantage, in my humble opinion, right? And drain them of money, in my humble opinion. And I think what the thrust of the machinist one was that they came to the machinist and gave them a proposal, right?
Right.
And went directly to the worker bees, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, which kinda is
like
direct
a, like
dealing.
A, like an SCR type move, right?
Exactly.
And the people said, well, listen, we have representatives. That's why we have a union. That's their job. Run this by them, and they'll vet it, and then they'll bring it back to us or not. And so they shot it down, and then what did they do? They withdrew it immediately, right?
Yeah, they withdrew it immediately. And this is something that the union said, this is something we're not far off from having something to bring back to our membership.
Right.
And, you know, Boeing, I guess, just said, this was our last best and final. You did not accept it, and so we are withdrawing it.
But like you said, Ed, the other day when you were on that Workers' Wednesday thing on
with
the radio.
With John Hansen. Shout out to the great John Hansen.
That was really, really cool.
We appreciate
really,
you.
Really, really cool,
Wednesdays
by the way.
At 6 p.m. on WGN?
Yes.
Starring Ed Maher.
Yes.
Who is not running for Supreme Court yet.
But yeah, it was really, really cool. First one, sponsored by United Healthcare. Anyway, Ed did a really, really good job. But what he said was that how much are they hemorrhaging a week now?
I think they were saying
like $100 million a week or something like that.
It was something like that.
Something crazy.
And they said it a couple of days ago that they're going to be laying off 17,000 workers, and that's because the economy is terrible and the strike is impacting them. Now, what they don't say is the fact that over a 10-year period, they spent almost $60 billion buying back their own stock.
$60 billion.
Now, what does that do? And over 6 years, it was like 43. So the majority of it was done over a 6-year period. $43 billion of their money went to buy back stock.
Stock buybacks.
Put money into shareholders' pockets. They did this with their money, and now it's like, oh, we don't have any money because of the strike.
Sell some more shares.
Says the people who just filled their pockets.
Yeah, it is. It is capitalism gone crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to figure that at some point, I keep going back to this. If you're a Boeing stakeholder and realizing that they're hemorrhaging all of that money and spending a dollar not to pay 50 cents, isn't there some sort of fiduciary duty to do the right thing and to have a cost-benefit analysis? Like, hey, maybe it's time to pay these workers, or maybe it's time to reinstate their pension, or whatever it is that they're looking to get. You know, give some value to the workers. I read this thing. You know Dr. Bronner's soap? It's kind of like this, I don't know.
Hippie soap?
Kind of hippie, earthy, crunchy, whatever.
Vegan.
Sounds like a potential sponsor.
Yeah, well, guess what? Listen to what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
They cap their CEO salary at five times the worker salary.
Oh.
And their benefits are massive, like massive. They have pensions, they have health insurance, they have time off, they make really, really good money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's called Dr. Bronner's.
That's amazing.
And I read that, and I'm like, wow, that's really, really cool, right?
The average is now, what, 2,000 times?
Something insane. Worker?
And five times is still a great living.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're making soap here, people.
Yeah, totally. Right. So I don't know.
Do you use that soap, Ken?
No, I hate to say that. I don't.
Earthy. That's earthy.
It smells like peppermint.
Yeah?
We love it. We love it here at the Workers'
Well, Mike. I'm going to start using it. How about that?
Worker-friendly
soap.
Exactly.
All right. What else do we got?
We got to take a break.
Oh, we do?
We do. We got to take a real quick break.
All right. Quick break, and then we'll be back, and we'll finish up the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, we got to wrap this thing up, but we got a couple more minutes. And before we do, I think Mr. Sweeney wants to say something.
I do want to say this is a great forum, and we are getting the word out. I hear more and more good things about this.
Oh, that was nice, Jim. Thank you so much.
I can't believe he calls in every week to say that.
It's really nice.
He's a thoughtful man.
It sounds like what he said last week, but it's just, you know, he's got it down pat.
I'll take it twice.
He's staying on message.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, that was nice.
Oh, we were talking about the NLRB earlier. Did you know that the NLRB's budget is $300 million?
No. That seems like a lot.
Oh, I would go the opposite direction.
That's like paying lawyers and investigators nationwide.
For 14 million union workers.
Yeah, so
they probably spend more on the White House egg hunt, you know? Like, seriously.
Those are some nice looking eggs.
It's a big lawn.
I would thought it would be much higher than that. And that's being clawed back now. Obviously, I didn't know that. Yeah. I just think about it. Like, all the investigators they have to hire, all the attorneys for 14 million workers.
Yeah.
It's not just unions, though. Remember, they do other stuff besides unions. It's not just,
true.
You know, they do unfair labor practice charges for non-union stuff.
Correct.
You know, true. Or at least they're supposed to, anyway.
So how do we explain this sort of to an everyday worker? It's like working at, let's say you work at a pizza place, and all of a sudden, for some reason or another, people decide they really love pizza.
Right.
So they're ordering more pizza than they've ever ordered since the 1950s.
Yeah.
And you're busier than ever. You've got more pizzas. You got more tickets on the line than you can possibly make. And then it's like, oh, we're going to be cutting the pay. We need more people.
Sorry
we need
about
more.
That.
We need more pans. We need more boxes. We need more drivers. Yeah, no, because we hate pizza.
Yeah,
the people actually, in charge of the money hate
and you know
pizza.
The stuff
good
that
food
you
analogy.
Use,
yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Good
I'm
analogy.
Just so hungry.
Yeah. You know that stuff you use to make the pizza, the dough. Yeah, we're going to cut back on dough.
That sounds delicious.
That's funny. Let's address this. I've gotten this comment before. It's like, hey, Ken, you know, Dems are bad too. They did blah, 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 blah. And I'll be the first to say, absolutely correct, right?
Yeah.
They gave us NAFTA. NAFTA, the worst thing that has happened
for the working
massive
class.
Massive offshoring of jobs to Mexico.
Oh, my gosh.
And elsewhere.
5 million lost jobs, 90,000 factories closed after the signing of NAFTA.
90,000.
90,000.
And in what world did Bill Clinton, and he's the one that
signed it.
And
Rahm
Emanuel. Yes.
Rahm was part of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I just don't understand how they got Shanghai into thinking that, you know, it's a global economy. Like, all of a sudden, it's a global economy. No, it's not.
I mean, right? and you could draw a line from that to the loss of support for Democrats by the working class. I mean, remember before that, the Democrats were the party of the working people.
Right.
And everything changed after that. And yeah, I think we should, that's a whole big discussion topic.
Yeah, I mean,
we could spend a lot of time on
finding a happy place in the middle of the either end of the spectrum is completely free trade.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, like NAFTA, like trading with China that doesn't have environmental regulations or anything like that. And then the other end of the spectrum is tariffs, where if people don't have to pay for all this and they're competing unfairly, we slap a bunch of tariffs, which has been shown it's just another way, one step off of a tax on the consumers, the middle class.
But, yeah,
so,
when NAFTA was signed, workers in Mexico were making $1 an hour. And then workers in America were supposed to compete with that?
Yeah.
Of course that was going to open up huge problems for the working class. And
you know, let's call this what it is as well. When the Dems are in control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, which they were for a short period of time, they should have passed the PRO Act.
Yes.
And we can talk about the PRO Act later. it's a bit of a pie in the sky. You know, God forbid that, you know, there's an actual giant, real labor act that gives us teeth and allows us to organize.
That would be cool.
It would be really, really cool, you know. And instead, they gave us a couple of little half things like quickie elections, right? You file for an election now, like you were talking about the petitions, Phil.
Yeah.
And those elections have to happen within, I forget, 30 to 60, 90 days, something like that. But anyway, they could have done a better job, a much better job. And look, Obamacare was great. Health insurance was great. That was super important. But you know what was more important? Jobs.
Yeah.
You should have started with jobs. And should have, could have, would have, but I don't know. It is what it is. Listen, next couple of weeks are going to be interesting.
More to come on these topics.
Yeah, more to come. And we welcome your thoughts and comments, right?
So send your emails.
What's the email?
WorkersMike@WGNradio.com.
You could do that. You could also send us a message on Facebook. Now we have a pretty cool, live, active Facebook page.
That's right.
Right?
Clips and then, on there.
Do we have Instagram?
We do.
Do we have TikTok?
Yeah.
We do?
Yeah.
We got all this stuff.
We've had TikTok for a long time.
We are full service.
One-stop shop. Mm-hmm.
It's tough being the number one show in America,
really,
right?
Yeah, supported
really
by vegans across the Midwest.
All right, listen. We got to go. We'll see you next week right here on 720 WGN with more of The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.